The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or to view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
Yeah, so you have basically two semiconductors to start with, one N and one P type N, P-type. So, for example, you have on the left-hand side, you have a P-type, on the right-hand side, you have an N-type, and since you have a high concentration of electrons on this side, the electrons will basically jump to this side, and you have a high concentration of holes on the P-type, the holes will basically jump to the other side. So you will end up with this space charge meeting that Gang talked about last week. And this is basically the characteristic of experience differences. I just draw one layer where they see expand a little bit. So you basically have a neutral region here. This kind of goes to. So you have your p-n junction, then you have your contacts here, which basically connects. Basically, in case you impose a solar radiation or something to this junction, generate all the drivers. Right. If you close the circuit, you can generate the same power. You know, I just talked about the open circuit voltage. So this is the first thing that basically happens when you join this game, which is this space judge region. Builds up. Or also the Indonesian layer fall. And over this you basically also you can generate a certain built-in voltage. So you have the space charge region, this is right here, and then this is for example, the carrier concentration. So for the electron, this is type and type. The electron is in the concentration and then each state is state. So you can basically say you have a neutral region here. You have a E field generated here. And you have a neutral region here. So in case you have, for example, when a photon comes in, we'll talk about this later if you want. But when a photon comes in, it generates an electron program or an exciton, so they're still very close to each other. These excitons, basically, when it's generated, they have to use the resolution between this space charge field, but they basically get separate. So for this case, for example, when you have coming. The E field is in this direction. So basically the electron will basically drag through this. So the electron is super close in this direction. So the electron will basically be in a tunnel through like basically it gets separate from the hole and jumps on the other side and you end up with just a positive charge here. And due to the neutral region in here, you basically have the fusion of your electron and your holes to the contacts in here. So further, so this is the carrier concentration, and then you can draw the charge in there. So positive charge here, positive charge here. And the E field looks like so the E field that is generated inside this space charge loops like this, or more accurately, it's probably more like sharp. And I think this was also when you talked about the divider last week, he said something that this is kind of important to distinguish intelligent people from not that intelligent people. Talk about the dynamic. The dynamic is just the spatial expansion of this condition. So basically say, when this nuclear drops to the point of the energy, this is basically it's kind of, so just say up to a certain point the nuclear basically drops down to a certain level, you can just say this is basically the translation extension, but up to this point, the exciton when it comes, it will start feeding the space charge region and it will start to separate to an electron and all over there. And and then I wanted to talk about the, so in the weird case that we actually have a photon coming out of the interaction. Let me start with the band diagram. So when we join the, when we join the two semiconductors, we got the last lecture we had to do band alignment, since the Fermi limits have to be the same. So somehow, so this would be the Fermi level, or if you want to see, so that's the convection band, the balance band. And let's see what happens. There's a photon comes in, and an electron is basically excited the convection band. And at the same time, it gets separate. First, you have this state, the excellent state, and then when it comes close to the space charge, it gets separate, and it ends up in the convection band of the epsilon. And this basically changes the Fermi level. So what you end up with is that the Fermi level actually increases, and so you increase the number of electrons, the Fermi level will increase, and when you remove an electron here, you end up with a hole here, so you basically decrease the Fermi level here. So you end up with some kind of the region, which is and this is basically the whole circuit board that we see. So the difference between these two kernel is due to the exchange of electron holes. This is basically the whole circuit board itself. And in the ideal case, obviously, you could basically go all the way, so it means the maximum open loop. Open circuit voltage that you should get should be.
So the electron goes to the conduction band of the end up here, right? Is it because that's an easy thing?
Yeah, I mean, what was the question?
Could electron also go to the conduction band of the nuclear as well? Okay, was that? Yeah.
That's a good question. I was thinking about that too, whether that is actually a step like this that goes, and then basically goes back.
Yeah.
Very good question. I think I can relate to that.
You want to answer?
Yeah, well, it's a distributed, so at this point you should not look at the spatial. So it's locally, it could be anywhere along that curve. The conduction curve. I think that's a good place. I think that it's the same point that I want to discover, I want to solve. Next time. Not be over the pond. That's where we stopped in the last lecture. It's about the comparing a pin junction, a diode. It's a Schottky barrier. Schottky, you can think about. On the left is a Schottky valve, on the right is a pin junction. And when you look at the current voltage characteristics, it looks very similar. Right? Except that the coefficients are different. The saturation, this is usually called the saturation current. And saturation current for the, this is a metal semiconductor junction, right? Sharpie junction. And in the case of metal semiconductor, like a Sharpie barrier, the saturation current is related to the barrier height. And in the case of PN junction, the saturation current includes the band gap and includes the diffusivity of hole. So on the P side is really hole that carries the current. On the N side is the electron, so diffusivity of electron on the N side, diffusivity of hole on the P side. And then we have this one, the time, the combination time. This is a, say, when you create an electron hole pair, you excite the electron from valence to conduction band, how long they can be kept separate. And after a certain amount of time, they will recombine and give off the either photon, as it were, laser or light emitting diode, if you want, or give off heat, the generate photons. So this is the recombination time for all electrons. You can see that the difference really in this saturation by current and sometimes equal for bulk current. But I want to emphasize another fundamental difference. Yes?
I would have thought sort of intuitively that the longer the recombination time, the more current you would have.
The longer the recombination time, yes. But see, recombination is also related to longer recombination. Longer recombination, smaller dot curve. But say, I see your point where if the longer is recombination, essential recombination happens in this region. Okay? So, I think that in that case, what happens is that the diffusion supply is also limited your current flow. So this is where I want to emphasize the important difference between this two formula. In the Schottky barrier, when electron go from here to here, right? It's electron, it's still electron, right? The way I draw it, here is the electron. And the metal side is electron. No problem. Now, if you look at the PN junction, okay, on the N type is electron, and on the P type is hole. So, if electron go, so I'm drawing here, electron go from here to here, go through this space charge region, there's no more electron. Right? You get to P type. So what happens? And you have to have current continuity. The charge has to be supplied, right? So what happens is that the hole will recombine with this electron. Okay? So the hole recombine with the electron, that means you have to supply hole from this side. So you draw a hole from this side, recombine with whatever electron comes this side, and this is the where the recombination region happens. It's not in the space charge, it's slightly just outside the space charge. So it's a Maillard carrier device. That's a really fundamental difference between Maillard carrier device and Maillard carrier device. Maillard carrier device, its recombination is crucial. And later on, I'm going to talk about solar cell. That's all people are trying to refine solar silicon. It's trying to increase this recombination. Okay? So so you brought this is the point. It's really important to appreciate the minority character rights in the ocean. Okay? And of course, I mentioned, so this is what I drew the card. You can see, electron, diffusion, is on this side. So hole diffuses with a quantum computer, say this side, there's no more electron, right? So electron will recombine with hole, so there's less electron flux forward. So there's small. So if I look at electron carbon, the decrease in this recombination region. And then I look at the hole carbon, right? Say on this side, the hole decrease in this region. That's where the supply recombine with electron. So electron goes through the space charge region, that's neglected in space charge region, have recombination. So as approximation. So it's a constant. And then after space charge, they recombine with hole. So electron diminish. Now at this side is just overflow. Right? So that's how we go transit from electron to hole. So the pin junction theory sharply, you know, the pin junction was, the three people got the Nobel Prize. One is Shockley, and the other is Wadin, and the third is Rick. And I think it was Shockley and Shockley and Britain did the invention, and Wadin was the manager at Carnegie Mellon. And then if you look at the history, and the Badin, Badin is the only the one of the guys that two Nobel Prize, superconductivity also got Nobel Prize, right? So he was very the history of the first invention. Badin as a manager felt this is so important, he has to do something. He developed theory. Okay? And but this is a really a very ingenious theory to think about. How electron on this side moves, hole on the other side moves. By the end, your current has to be continued. The summation of electron current and the hole current is constant, right? Okay. And in the last lecture, I also said if you look at the energy flow, and when electron at here, is yes.
I would like to know what happens. The whole carbon in the contact because in the cables we must have electrons, right?
In the contact, that's very so. It's a matter of there's no hole again. There's no hole. So typically in contact, people want to make an omni contact. So what happens is that when so the whole motion is really the majority of electron motion in the region. So when hole mode this way go from hole mode from here to here, that means just electron goes out to the metal. So that's what happens. Okay? And they have for the chemical potential, electrochemical potential, that's what the say at the junction is sort of like at the Shockley barrier, but they want to make an ohmic junction at those sites. And if you think about the Peltier effect, right? Peltier heat is the kinetic energy power, which is 2kT of the charge, average speaking, minus Ec minus EF, right? The chemical energy. And you look at this, Ec and EF is growing. Here on the N side, EC minus EF is here. In the space charge region, it's growing larger and larger. So electron is carrying more heat. Per charge is carrying more heat. Right? It's carrying heat out of the space charge region. That's why space charge region is actually a cooling. Okay? And then in outside, immediate outside space charge region, recombination happens. Right? Recombination dump the heat just immediately outside the space charge region. It reflow back, of course, the junction heats up. But physics is, it's not the junction, the space charge region that really heats up. The heat is actually generated outside the space charge region. In this recombination, this is where heat is generated. That's a fact that most people probably don't know. Okay. So, To finish what I was talking last lecture, the rest of this is more the research. This is the basic physics. And since we're talking about the Richardson formula, thermionic emission, so there are people doing, for example, in the this is a conduction fan. If you don't have a Fermi level around this place, the energy electron below the Fermi level is actually carrying negative energy, and the electron above carry positive energy. So one idea is that if I do a Shockley barrier or potential barrier, right, and I just scatter this part of the electron, that's called an energy field term, or depends on if you have interface, you also call it thermionic emission. So some people call the thermionic emission is, say, thermoelectrics, they have thermionic effect, or they so-called solid-state thermionics. But say, essentially, it's cutting out the low-energy electron, or sometimes it carry negative heat because the electron below the temperature potential carry. And if I draw the disk-type states, most times, I mentioned before, we talk about thermoelectric, so disk-type states need a sharp feature, and sharp feature help increase the thermoelectric effect. Right. So the way I view this, okay, in this region, I cut it off by transport. I cut off transport electrons. I still have the electron, but they are scattered. They don't move. So then the real ones are here, and I can think this about that as a shell region. So that's the way I say, okay, it's all really coming back to the idea. If you can create a shell features in these substates, put a lot of electron there, and you can potentially the electron power factor, S square sigma. But see, the key is you don't want that, you only want to scatter this part, you don't want to affect this part being included. So that's still a lot of traits. So I think that this idea is still not fully convincing yet to me. And I made a few slides on this, that's on my own sort of tour, maybe I published the paper before. There's no experiment, and maybe some of you will be interested. But this is the issue I was wrestling. What is the evaporation, right? I said that the the molecule coming out of the liquid surface, that's like an evaporation. That's equivalent to thermionic emission. But see, how about I have a vacuum here, right? I got a liquid here, and then suddenly a drop of liquid drop into the vacuum side, and every atom suddenly expand. Is that a corresponding to evaporation? And I have a solid state case where I'm comparing these two examples. And this two example is, one is a thermionic barrier, as everybody described before. When electron flow this way, the low energy electron in this region is scattered. That's thermionic emission. The other case I consider, this was actually paper journal of applied physics, is what about I flow electron this way and suddenly drop a letter? And that means to me is more like I take a droplet and put it in vacuum and suddenly evaporate. And this one is more like I have a water surface and the water molecule coming out of the surface like cooling water. Right? So that's a solid state analogy that we're trying to make. So what I did is I did some energy balance analysis. This is essentially a Richardson formula type. And you can assume the two sides has different temperature even on the both sides and different temperature potential. Okay, the real way to do this is solving Boltzmann equation. Very complicated. I don't know how to do it. So you solve this actually problem, even when I tried to do Fermi Dirac, it took a very, very detailed, a very hard calculation. But when I just do Boltzmann statistics, you can do your derivation. No Boltzmann statistics, energy balance, current balance at the interface. And what I found is that this is the electron temperature on this side, the electron temperature is 1 and 2, just right at the interface. It turns out that when I go down a step, there is an amplification factor. This is the potential height of KBT, and this is a mean free pass. So normally this is very small because mean free pass times 200 million just time to drop using one mean free pass. That's very beautifully very small. But what I saw interesting is if I have this structure, I suddenly like the electron expand, actually raise this temperature, or create a large temperature drop. That's an amplification factor. I can amplify how much electron temperature drop by the interface. So that's what I call potential amplified. On the other hand, my blue base structure, same analysis, didn't have that amplification. So I followed up, I said this is a Boltzmann statistic, I did a Fermi-Dirac statistics, and I saw some equations, and this is the equation, this is the electron temperature at the interface. And you can say you can actually drive thermally, just with a temperature gradient, you can drive electron and photon out of equilibrium. And this is the electron temperature jump at the interface. But if you do the reverse structure, there's no discontinuity at the interface. So this way, since it can help the efficiency of cooling, but so far I have not, like I said, this is just a theory. No experiments. Okay. Now I want to move on. That's just as an example. Sometimes it's interesting to quiz and think whether you can have new ideas in this field. Now coming back, now we'll talk about the photovoltaic cells. And this is the PN junction I just showed, and the saturation current. Sometimes people call it dark iron, hydrogen detector, dark iron. And now we have a photon comes in, generally electron over there. So if the photon energy is larger than the band gap is always the same. Everywhere band gap is the same. So if the photon energy is larger than band gap, you generally lift the one electron from the valence band to the conduction. Right. And this could happen anywhere in the device. That depends on where the photon is absorbed. We'll talk about that later. Right? So what I'm drawing just like, okay, if my photon happened to be absorbed within the space charge region, then the electron hole pair is generated within the space charge region. No problem. Right? Now, what happens after this generation? Of course, they have a tendency to recombine, right? And if they recombine, your photocell is a failure. You don't want them to recombine. You want to separate it. And now, if it's a PN junction, if you're in the space charge region, there's one advantage. Because electron, now there's an electrical field inside. So electron wants to go lower energy this way. Hole is the higher energy is the hole, positive is the higher energy. Electron, say higher energy. So hole go this way, positive side. Okay? Just to go down the potential hill. Now, this is the potential hill for hole. This is the potential hill for the electron. Going down there. That's natural. And this lateral tendency, so now you got more electron this side than, normally at equilibrium there's no voltage, right? Now you accumulate more electron this side, you accumulate more hole, so you generate a voltage. Okay? And once you generate voltage, this voltage will drive your diode, right? Just like on this side, if you have a voltage difference, you'll have a diode. So now if I have light comes in, this is the current, the electron hole current generated through the absorption of photon. And now once I build the voltage, this is the current to the forward that balances it. Right? This is the now when I have voltage, I drive the diode, and this is where I have electron hole pair generation, the counter going this way. And of course in a solar cell, I want to go this way. I want this is less than this. Okay? So that's the, if you understand the diode, that's the solar cell. Okay? And you can, so this one, if you, I want to call the short current, the short circuit current. If the short circuit, then your voltage difference is zero, right? You short it, this, there's no resistance, then this has to be equal to this, no voltage drop. That's a short current, short circuit. Short circuit, voltage equal to zero, that's your current. JL is short, your short circuit current. Right? Okay, now I'm going to, with that, starting from there, the rest is simple, just math. I can say what's my open circuit voltage. And my open circuit voltage is just to say there's zero current. So if I set this side equal to zero, I find out what's the open circuit voltage. So that's the open circuit voltage. And you can further simplify because we know JS is set to dark current, right? Look at it. This is called dark current or saturation current. And I want a high open circuit voltage. What do? Smaller is better, right? JA smaller is better. You look at it. Smaller JAs, higher open circuit voltage, right? So JS tau recombination time is longer. JA is smaller, right? So I don't want the recombination. I want the long lifetime. For the electron, basically, I want long life paths that I can extract out. Okay? And you put like in the JSA related to all diffusivity, recombination time, and I'll write it down out here explicitly. And you substitute the in, if you approximately drop this one, that's what you get. That's just the mathematics. You need to put on this. Now, of course, open circuit is useless because there's no power output. In real operation, we always have a load. We have current flowing. So when we have a current flowing, we can call it power. And so, but before I do that, I want to show you, if you draw this current voltage, so this is your short circuit voltage for zero, short circuit current, negative, right? When current is zero, open circuit voltage. Okay? So it's more like you're shifting diode parallel down. This, if you don't have a light illumination, it's a diode equation, right? That's a diode equation if you don't have this part. Just shift that diode curve down to the negative, the force program. Okay? And of course, you can look at this. The power output is the voltage times current. So somewhere, your voltage times current, that's this square. Depends on which point you're operating, you'll have maximum. And that's how you optimize, you change your load resistance, okay? So that you can control the current and the voltage by changing external load resistance. So that's a load measure. You do that for thermoelectrics, you do that for solar cells. Or so you need to optimize. So some people just design their circuit to optimize. And very often people don't draw this way, just reverse it. That's just for convenience. So that would be another way to draw, but that's the real one is actually to be on the electric side. Okay. Now we can go to the maximum power. When the power output is maximized, this is the current times voltage. That's the power. Right? So you just take derivative of your voltage and say when it's maximized. When you take derivative, physically what you do is I'm changing my external load to find out where is the optimal voltage so that the power is maximized. So that if you take this derivative, you'll find out that where is the optimal current, where is the optimal voltage. Okay. And again, see, this is just mathematic detail, not important. But very often in the terminology, people say, what's your fail factor? What is that? So this is the rectangular, this is where you optimize, you run your optimum current voltage point, right? So that's the actual maximum power you have. And if you look at, if you draw another rectangle, where you draw the this set of short circuit current and open circuit voltage, you draw another rectangle. Right? This ratio of this actual power divided by the outer rectangle, that's your fail factor. And you want to fail as much as you can say, to get the maximum power. Okay? Now let's go to source term. Source, this is a electron hole generation, right? So I have the radiation coming in. Only electrons, photons with energy larger than bandgap can generate electron hole pairs. So, and also, this is, let's suppose this is a black body. Let's treat the sun as a black body. Okay? So the solar radiation comes from the sun. And this is the fraction of solar radiation, actually, so you have to look at the distance. The fraction of solar radiation, because the black body of the sun is 58 Kelvin. You know it's not as just a closed object, 58 Kelvin of Coupe, right? It's very far, it's diluted. So that's this fraction in radiation for the effect. But it's not the radiation intensity, right? It's the number of photons. Because each photon generates one pair of electron hole. So I'm looking at the energy, because this is the energy. That's the energy of per photon. So I divide that, that's the flux of photons coming. It's not the flux of energy, it's the flux of photon coming for the solar cell. And this is the reflectivity. I assume that the radiation getting in the cell is absorbed and generate electron hole pair. That's of course an idealization. You can get a lot of different losses. This is just the best case. And of course the maximum best is no reflecting. So that's the one. Okay? So this is the source term. And the good thing is the source term depends on only the temperature if you idealize. Depends only on the temperature of the source, right? And when I calculate efficiency, this is the energy of the photon coming towards the cell, and this is the power. So of course, I want to maximize the efficiency. Everybody wants to maximize. And then the question is, what's the maximum? How much you can get, right? Second law. First, the solar cell is limited by second law power. You can always say, very safe. The maximum efficiency you can get is the heat energy between sun and the earth. So Tc is 300 Kelvin. T hot is the 5800. So that's color efficiency. That's an upper limit, absolute upper limit. You can't get anything beyond that. Yes?
I'm just curious about the way that the picture that you have on that slide. So it's actually instead on the p-type, and then don't we want it to hit the say charge region ideally?
So the photon could be absorbed along the even absorbed here.
So some of them penetrate, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if photon absorbed here, out in this charge region. They have less probability to go to the other side, the electron. They diffuse, your skin diffuse. There's some diffusion happening. Just to take a more, say, the chance of getting there is less.
So that's why you want it that way and not like. Like, you see how that is the PN region? Like, the TA when you go.
So you want to have a longer potential field. drive the actual use the field, right? Driven, right?
I'm talking about, like, there's a picture right there with the really thin and flat PN.
Really thin PN, of course, the good thing is that your electrode is very close. You can get to the two electrodes, but your photon may not get absorbed. So this is another thing that we're going to talk. That's your battle. Your solar cell is always your battle to choose one, you want to get photon absorbed. Two, you want to get the charge to the electrode before they recombine. One wants a thinner, the other one's thicker. This is essentially the thing people are trying to solve. Okay. But the question we want to ask is, what's the maximum possible? Okay. What's the maximum possible efficiency? And this one, anybody's to solar cell, the first paper you read, you should read, is this paper by Shockley. It's Shockley Pfizer paper. Okay. That's what Shockley Pfizer limit we'll discuss in the next one. And of course, the real dial, right? The real dial is hard to get to what's maximal, because the saturation current depends on the given material, recombination time, if you see the electron hole. It's hard to get your maximum. And the genealogy of Shockley, I read a few papers, very smart guy. And he's a physicist. So, this is what Shockley can do. So if you think about a PN junction, put it under sack, right? Open circuit. Of course, the solar radiation will create the electron holes continuously. Every photon will generate electron will pair. If there's no recombination, no defects recombine, what happens? You got to have the natural recombination process, right? Spontaneous recombination. Give out photon. So that's your maximum limit. No other recombination, only spontaneous recombination. But what's that spontaneous recombination rate? Calculate that up, okay? And I'm really impressed. I read a few papers. This is where every time I do this, I have a place where I don't feel comfortable to tell you. And I want to tell you because I want to go to find out. And this is not just what I read it yesterday. For many years, I tried to understand this. I still don't fully appreciate it. Feel fully comfortable. This is this expression where it came up. And this is actually not in Shockley's paper. This is you can check Henry's paper. And Henry had another other papers by Ross, and they all discuss three different Shockley's paper, Henry's paper, Ross' paper, three different ways to write this expression. And so when a PN junction has a voltage here, and what's so we say the quantum state, the Fermi-Dirac Bohr-Einstein statistics, right? But what they derive the photons, which obey Bose-Einstein statistics, in the PN junction, everything looks like Bose-Einstein, except that we add an EV. Okay? EV is the, if you look at, EV is really the Fermi level here in the N-type, Fermi level in the P-type, in this region, that's the voltage, EV. It's adding this term that I just feel I can comfortably derive it. You can go to expand, so each paper you start from a different place. And I would encourage you to read. And again, if you have any idea to make myself comfortable, I welcome you to come to my office to discuss. Because I for many years, we're actually looking into this, see how we can really make comfortable work, derive some near field, under near field, where it's valuable. But see, so I can only just say, take it from here, because I can't explain it easier. And the recombination, due to recombination in a PN junction, and particularly this is if you do lasers or light emitting down, this is a very, well, this is a very often Google stock, okay? But I haven't seen the one that really explained to me from thermodynamics very easily. So basically promote quantum mechanically promote how many photons you have at any given time. Okay. Now starting from here, you can derive what due to this recombination. Now you have a voltage, the arbitrary voltage, what's the recombination part? So you just integrate again from the band gap to any energy. And if you do Boltzmann statistics, you just neglect one factor one. And this is the, I'm late, I didn't write the equation, but just copy it from Henry's paper. And this is solid angular integration. So that's essentially the photon density of states inside the crystal. Photon density of states. So it's a firm derived, no, quasi set statistics integrated quantum density of states. So this is the spontaneous emission due to the current that can create at arbitrary voltage. Okay? And everything is very similar to what we had before, except that A is a lot longer. That due to, if you look at the diode A, right? This is the A for the diode. That's determined by axial material recombination. And then here, the ingenuity is, no, this is really just a dielectric constant, refractive index, band gap on the material. So this is the maximum you can have. The best you can have. Now, as a really new recombination. No other defects in recombination. So, because of that, it's free of any material, so now you can derive the material. But it's still one material, that's the ET, right? This is the only other material you can have. But while I talk, you can also say, how about the photonic crystal, inside photonic crystal? This factor we checked is a spontaneous form. And maybe you got a different muscle. Maybe a good people. Okay. So now I have translated that if you look at the term, this is the current term, the diode equation, right? One is the diode equal current, the other is the photon generated current. This is the photon generated current, in the best case, this is the one. Put in the best scenario, and the everything is the independent material except the band gap, only the band gap. So that's where Shockley could derive what's the maximum. And this is the curve was not copied from Shockley, but from Harris paper. And using this reading recombination current, photons generate the electron hole pair, so this is exactly. Photon generated current, and you do the rest of the analysis just as we did before. You can find out what's the maximum power and what's the maximum efficiency. And this is what Henry calculated. And here, C is a concentration. What concentration after concentration? So what it does is change JFL, right? If you concentrate more, you generate more electron hole pair per unit volume. So this is if you concentrate, you get this larger, you get a larger open circuit voltage. So concentration actually can help your frequency efficiency. Okay? So not too much increase, but reasonable increase. And what's interesting, you look at it, under one sun condition, right, where is the optimum band gap? About 1.5. Now you look at the material, where is about, what's that material? 1.5. Gallium arsenide is actually very good. Right at that target. Silicon is here. 1.1. Not too far from the optimum. So this is about 31%. Okay. So that tells you, if you build a silicon cell, this is about the best you can do in terms of efficiency. And that would be without the company. Yes.
Can we look at just the thermalization of the energetic photons
You mean the how many photon and ejected photon compared to backup? Or
I mean the, you have a certain what happens, for example, for two photons? They are highly energetic.
Right.
They are absorbed at an equal energy as the 1064. So the thermalization is the energy.
Right. Exactly. So this is a black body curve, right? This is your band gap somewhere here, okay? And really, what's useful energy? Because this is above the gap energy loss. So if I look at this is the bunch structure. If I have photon generate electron hole pair this way, this energy electron relax bottom very fast. Okay, hole relax to here very fast. So this is the heat. And in fact, people have been theorizing hot electron cells. If you can extract this electron out with this kind of energy, that's hot electron cells. Question how you get it out before you relax. This is about picosecond. So picosecond is very fast. If you times 10 to the minus 12 times diffusivity, just travel nanometers or few nanometers, just have no way to get it out. Right. But if you have a good idea, that's something people be thinking for since 70s. Okay. So that's a single junction, maximum you can get. And exactly on this issue, right? How about we do multi-junction? Right? One cell, so multi-junction, like shown here, the first one absorb blue, so larger band gap, the topmost layer. And the lower, longer wavelengths, lower energy can transmit through. So get absorbed in the second layer, and get also third. That's the idea. And of course you can see with this stacking, each one generates a current, right? If you look at this, the key is that your current has to be continuous because you put an electrode on top, the electrode on bottom. So each cell has to generate the same amount of current. That's a design nightmare, almost. Right? And, but people have done that. It's a material nightmare and a design nightmare. Okay. Design, in a sense, you have to get a current match. So the electron come from the top layer has to go to the hole of the next layer, or hole of the top layer has to merge with the electron of the next layer. Right? The current is continuous. And you have to group different materials because the recombination is a killer, right? So that's why people do molecular beam map, testing, lattice match. They generate defects, they generate dislocations. These were just the centers for the recombination. And then you kill that you kill the electrons before you can take it out. So to grow those material, people done molecular beam mass testing, like a spectral diode lab. And they were doing laser before, now they're doing probably 40-41% for cells, triple junction cells, three junctions. And that grew on that smash. And so this is I got one graph from the internet. I think it gives some idea. Silicon in real world deploy about 15% to 18% hard skill. And then gallium oxide 30%. And now this is a triple junction, indium gallium phosphor, gallium oxide, germanium, you look at that gap 1.8, 1.4, 0.7. Or other material. You have to look at what are the materials that match your current and that you can grow. So you have to look at both material and band gap device. And if you do really well, how much you can do. Right? Infinite. So this is a Henry's paper, it showed 72% that if you got 36 back, later say body spectral each 36 stage. Okay. And if you have an infinite stage, the theory is about 86%. That's the best you can do. Around 86%. Multi-infinite multi-junction cells. is still lower than the cutoff between 300 and 5800. That's about the line you do. If you do 1 minus 300 divided by 5800.
Okay.
So that's the what people can do. So in theory says, now you look at the practice. In the lab, this is the best in the lab, it's not best deployed. Silicon, where is the crystalline silicon? Crystalline silicon, yeah, here. This is silicon. It's a bunch of here, right? The best is about 25-26%. I remember I once went to Martin Green, this is the University of New South Wales. Martin Green is probably the biggest guy in the solar system. I went to his lab. And he told me about 27 in the silicon lab, but here I saw. That's the. Remember, Schottky Quasar gives you 30-31%. So it will be really well compared to that limit. Amazing, actually. And also, so that's why so all your potential is also limited. That's the best you can do, right? But in fact, then you can really do that at low cost. I think your problem is solved. So you can always work in lab and do better. That and not see the problem. The engine is only 10%. Of course, power plant is about 40%. And so the best multi-junction CO, right? SPEPA lab, here is less than, but I think that now the best I heard is about 41%. Okay. And this is a multi-crystalline. This is a single crystalline multi-crystalline. And let's look at amorphous silicon. Amorphous silicon here. Okay. It's, well, the real world is about 6-8% deployed. The best in the lab is about 12%, but that's a triple junction. Not just a multi-silicon. And this is a, say, copper indium. This is for the 6 copper indium lysine knife. And so the best is about 19%. And telluride is a bit hot force here. And because, as I said, it's backwards because most people talk about 6 before, and now Persona is probably the best. Most profitable company is in the general way. And their CO, I think, is around 10%. Let's say, from lab to real production, there is a difference. Mass production. And then, this one is the polymer, I think. Okay, organic sales. And then there's a dye CO, grass or super grass CO. So this will give you where you are. Not the most up-to-date in years, but pretty close. What are the problems? Right. I mentioned the one for solar cell, the number one is Mylar device, that's the Alchemy cell. Mylar device, very sensitive to recombination. So what are the creation, what are this, say, what are the reasons for recombination? Those, say, impurities. Are there impurities in the bank, within the deep in the bank, deep level? Those are recombination centers. Dynamic bonds, the track charge, right? And, green boundaries, where you got a lot of dynamic bonds. So those are the regions where the recombination happens. And that's why people purify a silicon, crystalline silicon, for example. Very large of grain is about $2 per kilogram silicon. If you want to make a solar cell, you get rid of, you re-crystallize it, purify it, and got to $40 per kilogram. And then, of course, during the process, you need to use a lot of more. Like heat up and melt in and refreeze right. And in fact, last year, before the market crashed, everybody was on Silicon. So the Silicon was short, and that got to $140 per kilogram. Okay, so that's a one, that's let's say a large device like Achilles heel. And in that sense, I can argue super electrics is good, because it's a majority carrier device, doesn't have severe recombination. And the other problem is this absorption. Okay. In fact, this is, to me, I say, okay, photon comes in first step, absorb. The second step is charge where it goes. So this is really the first step. And look at where the photon goes, right? Of course, in the interface, the reflection, you don't want the reflection, you minimize that. You burst coating the surface of pigment. But once you get into the material, you don't have almost no other ways to control this profile anymore. It's a material intensive absorption. So this is the absorption coefficient, and decays, the intensity decays exponentially. So now you think about that in your most photon generated electron hole pair, let's say in this region, and you want your space charge in this region to overlap it. So that you can separate that, you can use your field to drive the electron to one side and hole to the other side. Right? So, the depth of this is 1 over alpha gives you exponential minus 1. So that's called the calculation depth. So this is where you look at the material, what I should choose. An absorption coefficient. Absorption happens above the band gap. So band gap is the first step. And then, you look at the material, you say, oh, silicon, we know so much. That's the inner of silicon. Why silicon is a problem? Because it's really just, first thing, because of this absorption. You see here, absorption, this is the photon energy, right? Back gap is about 1.1 electron volts. It's a very slow curve. And if 1 over alpha, so this is centimeter, so here, it's about 10 micron. So if I use a 10 micron, so the energy below 1.6 eV, then those part of the energy is absorbed very little. It goes through the ceiling. Right? It don't get absorbed. So if it's too thin, this part can go out. So that's the absorption. And that's why someone say like a copper ion like sigma 6, pattern turn right. Right? They have very sharp into this flat phase power. So if you have 1 micron, this is the inverse is 1 micron. 10^4 inverse gives you 1 micron. This is centimeter. Okay. So with the if you want to use thin film, direct gap is a good one. Those are good with thin film. And that's why when people make a marvelous silicon thin film. It's pretty good here. This is useless here. Right? You can generate electron hole pair, but you don't have much time. So solar cell is always a battle. First you want to absorb it. Second you want to get the charge for the electrode. Right? So why is silicon so different from the others? Gallium arsenide. Shoot out directly. Right? This is what I mentioned before, whether it's a direct semiconductor gap or indirect gap. Gallium arsenide, all the others that have a sharp increase, it's a direct gap. So the photon go from here to here. If the electron to, from valence to conduction band, you need to satisfy the energy conservation, so the photon energy is the difference of electron hole energy, so that's the energy conservation. And second is the momentum conservation. So you have to, momentum is h over lambda, right? Lambda of photon is micron. Well, lambda of electron is lattice constant, angstrom. So in this is a 1 over angstrom, but so 1 over lambda is essentially vertical, so the photon don't give you much momentum. That's the problem. In indirect gap semiconductor, right? The band gap is here. When you want to say the momentum doesn't match between electron hole. So if you want to leave this electron here, the photon don't have enough momentum. It has energy, it doesn't have momentum. It has to have like something else, that photon. You can emit a photon or absorb a photon. Photon doesn't have much energy, but it has momentum. So this is why they say, so you got to have either emission or absorption of photon. So you got to have three people now, like I said. Very hard to schedule three people together. So the absorption is weaker. Because when the photon wants to do it, there's no photon there. Okay? So that's the dilemma why the silicon don't have good absorption there. And near the band gap. And of course, once you move to this region, it goes up. You can go just first here. Right? Okay, so that's what I say. Solar cell essentially, you solve one problem, maybe the other problem. Think or think, and how you can address those issues. These are the really electron, thing is better. You just take it out before they recombine, you send to the electron. Photons, get, you don't get absorbed. Okay? Of course, that's related to efficiency, and the single thing is directly related to how much material you use. That's a cost issue also, right? To have a low cost, you need a thinner, less material, so always the material cost is better. And you look at the cost. Now, the lowest solar cell is from first solar, they say they have manufacturing cost is about $1 per watt. Okay. And this is where the green part is, about the factor of three, assuming a certain amount of year you use it in the real world. Factor of three, that's you have $1 per watt. And it's a good, good curve here in terms of the cost. But say, look at it, get terawatt, takes a long time. Right, right now, the worldwide installation per year is about 6-7 gigawatt. 6-7 gigawatt. China put a 100 gigawatt steam turbine every year. Okay? So it's just a block. Really just a block. When you say we're opening a Walmart park, we need a clean energy. It takes a, it will take a lot of them. Beautifully. Okay, different type of solar cells, right? And silicon cell is the most predominant. How is the cost, right? Single crystal, multiple crystal, colorful, you can see the greens almost, right? And what's interesting is all those crystal surfaces have a texture. And that's the trap they like. So that to reduce reflection. Reduce reflection, not only reduce reflection, once they get into the backside, if it's a metal, you reflect back, you don't want to go out some of the photons, so the more light you have. And the difference between single crystal or multi crystal is single crystal, you can get a regular texture, multi crystal is not going to get a regular texture. It's a manufacturing process and crystal etching. Right? And then you got the say electrode and silicon here. You can see this question here. If you generate electrical pair here, it has to diffuse. It can go both ways. Right? You don't have a field. You have to design so that the field can help you go one direction.
Yes. Why P-type is much thicker than the N-type?
I don't know. It must be related to the mature characteristics. I would imagine probably P-type has a recombination there. I didn't check. But most times people use P-type something.
Even P-on silicon?
Ah.
Even P-on silicon? If the material is not silicon?
Oh no, oh, mature not silicon, then no. That I don't know. I didn't check. Did you check? Right. And you can see here, P plus, try to make an all-main contact, right? Reduce that Sharpie barrier. And you have top electrode, metal grid. That's a shielding effect. Metal grid, the photon don't get through. That's not good. So sometimes people even bury the grid down or make it on the backside via through vias. So there are a lot of really, really significant improvement, a little bit of improvement people have done over the years. Thin film. And here, say, most early one is amorphous silicon crystalline. Amorphous silicon, we showed before, absorption is pretty good, so you can use thin. But the electron, amorphous material, electron is very hard to move. A lot of damping bond recombination. So you got to use really thin. The amorphous silicon cell is about 200 nanometer. And if you can reduce that, the even thinner, probably better. Two things in manufacturing is a problem. You pink holes, all those so we're always trade off. You know, okay. But this is actually showing you just a multi junction. I say if you look at it, this is on steel, and top is a transparent electrode. So unlike silicon, you look at the electrode on the top, right? It's space apart. So electron go here, actually diffuse to the electrode, laterally going to the electrode, right? Silicon is reasonably good in terms of recombination. Amorphous silicon don't work. So you got to have the electrode right on top of it, right? So it's a transparent conductor, transparent conductor. And this is a cathode right. Right? The active region, about 6 microns. And this is 6 space. Active region, 1 to 3 microns. It's a trade off between recombination and absorption. If you increase absorption using thin, it's always better. If you can, theoretically, it would be better. If you can use thin, the first step, you can trap light before you're doing some research. Light copy. You can capitalize those minutes. Use a thinner. Help the electron.
The sickness of IQ is what?
I can't see
the number.
ITO here is about 0.5 microns. I'm not sure whether that's the best. People are optimizing.
I'm just a copy from where I'm trying to show the scale relative.
People are doing transparent conductor also trying to improve the conductivity. Basically, you want a very high conductive. So if you're highly conductive, the thinner is better because the free electron in this material also absorb photon, which generally we don't want that. Polymer cell, right? Polymer, ideally, if you put polymer, you reduce cost, ideal situation. The problem with the polymer is that it's even worse than amorphous silicon. Right? You generate, they immediately recombine. Recombination is very fast. In fact, when you first generate, they bond it together, they are not even separate electron or hole. This bonded state is called an exciton. So MIT has an exciton center, DOE center, Mark Bolo. I'm needing a solar thermal center, my father is needing an exciton system. There is the whole issue is to find how I can separate this exciton and make the electron go one way and the hole go the other way. Same case of solar. Right? So in that case, you look at this really thin, 220 nanometer, try to separate. But that's still difficult. So people now doing the so-called bulk junction cells. So you put a two type of molecule, one conduct electron, one conduct hole. So locally you generate electron hole pair, and ideally you want to need to separate so the electron go one molecule, then go to another one. Grato cell, right? So this is not a solid cell, it's actually a liquid cell. And
what it has is titanium dioxide nanoparticles. Okay. Titanium dioxide nanoparticles are banked about 3 electron volts. Too large, not much more photon there. Right? And so what a brass cell does is you put a dye on top of that titanium dioxide. And this dye is called a photosynthesizer. So this is where photons absorb. And photons absorb dye molecule monolayer, okay, generate electron hole pair, exciton, before they dissociate, they are exciton. And you want them to dissociate, separate into electron and hole. And the electron go immediately fall into nanoparticle. So the nanoparticle is diffuse. Now there's no field. Really diffusion process. Okay? So they zig around out. So that's why people try to do nano wires so that give a better pass to electrons rather than nanoparticles. But the problem is that when you do nano wire, your surface area for absorption also change. Right? Here you can have this area, surface area, automatic. Your nano wire is only this surface. Right? Vertical. So the surface area of absorption. So the particle has advantage is just almost like a 3D wrap around the particle. Right? More molecules. There's always this everything to fit up. Right? And then what about the hole? Turns out the hole goes to the liquid. And then this is a chemical reaction now. It's not just a hole diffuse. The liquid there's no hole cannot diffuse. So the hole oxidizes the molecules, in the case of very often the iodine. Iodine in the liquid get say iodine 3, and this charged molecule diffuse to the contact level. So again, diffusion. So electron diffuse to one electrode, hole diffuse to the other electrode where they are reduced, and they reduce the diffuse back. Sounds like a very cool process, right? The idea is again this you can compound. But see, grass cell was pretty good in getting that 11% all of this. And see the so this is a flat surface versus the now this sort of electrode in auxiliary absorption. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say, and then we're right. This is the sort of dream. Okay. The dream in a sense, here is the cost, here is efficiency. You want a low cost, high efficiency. Right? Silicon is particularly in the first generation called Gen 1. Thin film is here, lower efficiency, but lower cost. And in fact, they made the business, at least for first solar carbon telluride based. And people are thinking of very slowly go to Gen 3. No winner in Gen 3. Like, okay, this is where you guys could be